In less than a month, three former State Probation Department officials are expected to stand trial on corruption charges.
Former Probation Commissioner John O'Brien and two of his deputies are accused of hiring people with political connections over more qualified candidates in exchange for getting more funding for the Probation Department.
Yesterday, defense attorneys and prosecutors released lists of potential witnesses for trial. It's almost a who's who of Beacon Hill. The defense list includes Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, House Speaker Robert DeLeo, Senate President Therese Murray, and Attorney General Martha Coakley.
The prosecutor's list names several state lawmakers, including Byron Rushing, Michael Moran, and David Linsky.
Joining us now is Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia. Hi, Milton. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So one of the big questions here about this whole scandal in the probation department is how many people might have been involved in allegedly rigging this hiring system that was in place. And what do you think this list, first off, from the defense, tells us about their strategy and who might have been involved?
Well, the defense is want to say that the defense wants to say that everyone was involved. Mm. They want to paint this picture of patronage throughout Beacon Hill that stretched from the state legislature to the federal and state bench. You know, they're saying judges were involved, against state representatives, state senators were involved. Even Attorney General Martha Coakley, was involved in the form of recommending candidates for hire. And that's kind of what they want to paint, that, you know, this can't be illegal if everyone was doing it and if this was the accepted practice, that what was going on here, for years in Beacon Hill, not just in probation, but elsewhere. But I think there's, I think there's a line that, you know, jurors will have to decide in this trial was this patronage or was this, as you mentioned, the rigged hiring scheme? Mm. Prosecutors have said John O'Brien created the scheme for his own benefit, and it seems a lot of people may have benefited from it, but the question is where was the crime that occurred here?
I guess the question is that if everyone was involved, then isn't the obvious rebuttal, then why isn't anybody else charged?
Right. Well, that's a good question. You know, one of the crimes here is that John O'Brien was taking bribes. Who was giving the bribes? And the insinuation here is that, state legislators were given the bribes in the sense of boosting that budget every year, helping him to build his political power. But the question is, what is the crime? Prosecutors are trying to say this rigged hiring system, that was the crime here. But again, it's going to come down to the defense, painting this as politics as usual.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, is this going to come down to any proof that O'Brien may have done this for his own benefit, any kind of bribes directly to him? And at this point, do we know if that proof even exists?
Well, the allegation of the proof is the bribes, not to O'Brien in the sense of putting money in his bank account, but it's putting money in the probation department's bank account, mm-hmm. helping to build his political power as head of this agency where jobs were could be bought, and helping him build this power and really helping him run this racketeering scheme, because that's the charge we're talking about, is running a racketeering enterprise. And the allegation here is that probation was a racketeering enterprise.
Hmm. There was another report last week that said that someone else who had recommended someone for a job in the probation department was former State Attorney General Scott Harshbarger. Now, Harshbarger was the chair of the Blue Ribbon panel that looked into the hiring practices of the probation department after this whole scandal broke. That Blue Ribbon panel made recommendations about how to change it. How significant is it that Scott Harshbarger's name is being brought up like this?
Well, I think it depends on your perspective. And the defense's perspective is it's huge in the fact that this is politics as usual. If Scott Harshbarger thought this was okay, then it must have been okay. That's the allegation here. But again, the prosecutors would say it's not the person. It's not unheard of for someone to be listed as a job applicant or to kind of agree to be a reference or write a letter of recommendation on someone. That the actual crime here is the running of the rigged scheme, the rigged system. And I think that's the line that the jury will have to decide who crossed it and who didn't. And that will be the center of this long, long-awaited high-profile trial.
Another issue in this case has been about the judge, the presiding judge, Dennis Saylor, and whether he should recuse himself here. Now, we need to explain this, as it's all complicated. Saylor used to work with Paul Ware. Paul Ware is the independent investigator who wrote the report on the probation department and said that there was this rigged system in place. Now, Saylor says that connection doesn't pose any conflict of interest. But the defense says, no, Saylor, you should recuse yourself. And there was apparently an angry outburst in the courtroom this week over this very argument. When might the judge rule on the request that he step down from
this? Well, we're still waiting that ruling. It could happen any day now. The judge did rule on the Ware connection in saying it isn't a conflict of interest, or at least there's no appearance that would, you know, force me to recuse myself. However, since that ruling, which was first, you know, requested in January, defense attorneys have argued, not only did you have a relationship with Paul Ware, but you have a relationship with Ware's deputy, who was also involved in this investigation. And you also have a relationship with a judge who may be called as a witness. So it's all these things that the defense attorneys are piling on that they say, if you're not looking just at where you look at, need to look at the totality of this, and it would be a need to recuse yourself here. And that's what the judge is considering now. It could happen any day. That's why he asked for that list of potential witnesses, just so he could see who he does in fact have a connection to and see the depths of this, and it's going to be something for him to decide whether he thinks he has an appearance of a conflict of interest or not. And that's, a lot of people are paying attention to this. And one thing that is worth noting is that this is part of the defense strategy, saying everyone is connected to everyone and somehow, so even the judge has friends here, and judge knows different people, and how is that a crime here?
Well, two things, just briefly, Milton, that I want to ask. First off, do you think we'll actually see high-ranking state officials testify during this trial, and is it still possible that we might see a plea deal?
Judging by the fact that we're seeing this fight, I don't know if we'll see a plea deal. In fact, John O'Brien's lawyers have told me they do not plan to plea out to this. They want to go to trial, that he's not guilty, and they're in this for the long haul. So I don't think we'll see a plea deal. I know there have been fights on both ends, strong fights, and I think it's going to come down to a trial. And as far as who we can see, it depends. I think prosecutors want to just bring in the necessary witnesses to show that a representative did sponsor, and because of that sponsor, someone was hired. I think they just want to build some of the nuts and bolts people here, but I think defense attorneys want to make a show of this and say, not only was legislature from this random town involved, but we're talking about the House Speaker, we're talking about the Senate President. I think they want to pull in all the top officials, the top brands, the big names, to show if they knew about this, then this was the culture and it wasn't a crime.
Okay, Boston Globe reporter Milton Valencia, thanks very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Coming up, electronic cigarettes. Are they the end of smoking or a gateway to harmful tobacco cigarettes? We'll hear how this public health debate is playing out right here in Massachusetts. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.